Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Beautiful, splendid episode of Mostly Lit with myself, Ray, and who do we have in the studio with me today?
What's wrong with you, man? My name's Alex, and I'm here
with...
Oh, Derek.
Oh, wow.
Derek is
we're going to do that again. I'm here with...
Derek.
Yeah. Is it not Derek?
Derek Owusu, yeah.
Full stop. Mm-hmm. Derek's feeling a bit depleted today, but
I don't know why. He's so got a nice recipe.
We got to bear with him. Got to bear with him. Try and bring it out of him today. How's everybody doing this week?
Splendid. Mm-hmm. Splendid. Having a 3-day weekend, which is brilliant, because I took a holiday yesterday because we were at Future Book.
Can you calm down?
Future Book.
No, I won't calm down. Just because you're under the weather and you're feeling blue, Ray, I'm not. I'm feeling red. You know what? Yeah. Spicy. I'm feeling hot.
It's so funny because the other time when Ray was down, everybody was up, and Ray's like, "Why do I have to be the one to bring him?"
Right.
And now she's bringing him, and Derek's like, "Can you calm down,
please?" Can you calm down? It's like he. Oh God. Nah.
Yesterday, so Friday we were at Future Book Conference, which we want to say thank you to Bookseller and everybody else that were there.
Yeah.
Amazing day, amazing people.
Yeah, we had fun. It was not like our usual audience. Mm. So I went there a little apprehensive actually. But I think it went well.
It was pretty good.
We met amazing people.
It was pretty good.
Thank you so much, Philip.
Was there wine?
Crystal.
There was wine. Yeah.
And I don't know about all that. I was having orange juice.
Yeah.
So
there was wine. But it was good though. I mean, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
really.
How about you, Derek? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was a laugh.
Can you give us some
vim? I mean, yeah, it was alright, innit? It was a laugh.
Slap
yeah.
You.
Yeah, I had a good time.
Can you just get out?
Terry looks like a shadow, like, you know them guys?
What happened? Oh, yeah, the live show, it was fun. Yeah, the live show was actually fun. I think it was one of our best that we've done, actually, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not in terms of subject, but in terms of the energy we brought. And I'm just realizing more and more and more that that's what it's about. It's about the energy, the vim. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't have much
today.
But yeah, it was fun. Yes, of course. Thank you to Philip. Thank you to Crystal. She was great. Sam Missingham. She was very, very supportive.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well.
Amazing. It was really fun. Yeah, it was really
Sarah as well from the bookseller.
Yeah,
it was great. Good
it was
fun.
Really good. Like we had a few of them from the bookseller and from Vintage as well, just in the front, like cheering and whooping and laughing at all the jokes. So that was good. That was nice to have. So hopefully we'll be back there next year.
Inshallah.
Yeah, it'll be pretty good. It'll be pretty good. So what are you guys reading this week?
Derek, you can start.
Drown. Been reading Drown, and I've been reading the manuscript of a book I'm not allowed to say I've been reading.
Yeah.
Do we all have that?
No.
No.
It's just, you know, casual
mention. It's really, really, really good. It's an amazing book, and I think it's gonna do bits when it comes out.
Amazing.
So yeah, I mean, congratulations to the author. He's actually like pulled something incredible off, to be fair. And as I'm not usually impressed
No, it's really difficult to get Derek to give praise.
But yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing book. I've also obviously been reading what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah.
And rereading The Unbearable Lightness of Being.
Yeah.
Sorry for my lack of vim, guys. I'm just fucking tired. I'm proper tired.
It's fine. It's fine. We'll carry you.
Okay.
We'll carry you. Light the torch. Go on. Ray, what are you reading?
Well, obviously I read Drown, the short story that by Juno Diaz that you told us to read.
Yeah.
I also read what's his other little short story? Dating a white girl.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about those during the
Listing
show.
Listing or whatever. yeah, and obviously, honest to God, I literally tried so hard this week to finish Pullman's because I've actually had enough of coming in and being like, oh yeah, I'm still reading that damn book. Yes, I'm still reading that damn hefty book, and I couldn't do it.
It's definitely a Christmas read for me. I
couldn't finish it, and I'm really angry with myself because I really want to start something new, but I know I will finish it today, so that's why I've got another book in my bag with me. I'm going to be reading.
You're not going to be reading that.
I am. I start today, so I've got Lolita by Vladimir Nabokov. So I'm really excited to read it. I was literally looking at my shelf today, like, oh, what should I take? I've got Home by Binti. I mean, sorry.
See, everyone's tired and a mess today.
But yeah, I've got that, which my friend gave me, which I will also be reading alongside Lolita. But yeah, I'm excited to tell you how Lolita goes. Hopefully, I'll be done with it by next week.
Can we play some bets? Play some bets. Place bets.
All right, cool.
Ray is not going to finish Lolita.
Why?
Okay.
You're going to stop reading it.
Why?
You'll see.
No, can you not do that? Just tell me why.
No. Well, should we place bets?
Let's place a bet. All right. Let's do that off air.
Okay, I bet. Okay.
You're going to write that?
No, I won't write it down.
No, can we? I want to know the bets.
Oh.
I think people should know the bets. Why are we going to do it off air?
I bet that.
I thought it was. Anyway.
I bet the next week when we come back, you're going to say, I've stopped reading it.
Why?
Just trust me.
Okay, and how? Are you betting prices? Or
I want to bet sweets because I really want some.
No, we'll bet a book.
Ooh.
You bet books, yeah?
Okay.
Thing is, I'm very
all right. Okay.
And so if you tell me that I won't read it, then I'll just try my very best to.
I guarantee you that won't even be enough.
Try.
Okay,
there
cool.
There is do or do not, there is no try.
Right. Okay, well, we'll see about that.
Bet books. What kind of books are we going to bet out here?
I mean, betting is haram, but there's no interest on books right now. Actually, it doesn't matter.
No,
it's still...
intellectual interest.
I know, it's still bad. Yeah. All
right, cool. So you got Lolita that you're going to start.
Yes, because I'm tired of talking about Pullman. I love you, but sorry. Oh, the book is great, by the way. Please go and read it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Cool.
What are you reading, Alex?
I'm not reading much this week. I've just been continuing the Black Panther and obviously reading the books that we're going to talk about today. So
you haven't finished Black Panther?
No, because I'm busy.
Why do you always do that?
It's always
every day, you haven't finished always, that. Shut your mouth. Nobody has your time.
It's always a grimace. So Derek can read pretty quickly. I'm trying to balance a whole lot.
Everyone has their own speed.
I did read For Esme of Love and Squalor, the short story again.
Oh, you reread it.
Yeah. And I was tempted to start a good day for banana fishing. Is it banana fishing?
Banner fishing.
I always call it banana. I always read it as banana fish. But yeah,
maybe it is banana. I don't know.
A good day for banana fishing. And
so after you reread for Esme, did you then realize that it's a war story?
Yeah. Okay. I read it as a war story. That's kind of why there was a shift in my perspective. But yeah,
it's amazing though.
Yeah. I really love it.
I love J.D. Salinger.
He's good.
Underrated.
He provides a perspective of history, which is a really interesting. Obviously, it's a war story, and it's that period, it's that grey period of American history, right? Is it the more depression kind of?
Not really.
It's kind of leading into that. I like that kind of that era.
I think it's more to do with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah,
I think that's what it's really about.
Mm.
Post-traumatic stress disorder, and I guess trying to hold on to your sanity by latching on to something innocent, which was obviously Esme.
Yeah.
But amazing story, J.D. Salinger.
Yeah, it's really good.
Great,
really
good.
There are some other ones I need to finish in that in the book. I think there was one about winter. Let me just double check what it's called.
Can you just read Franny and Zooey?
I will do once I finish this. This. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, banana fish. A perfect day for banana fish.
Oh, it's banana fish.
Yeah, yeah. There was another one. I think it was ugly. Uncle Wiggily in Connecticut. And down at the dinghy. Those are what I'm gonna continue with this week.
Anyway, yeah. Okay.
That's cool. All righty. Let's go on to the tete-a-tete. Or do you want to provide your gem first?
Which one? No, we're going to tete-a-tete.
Tete-a-tete. So there's just, again, three points. We're going to have a black queen, guys. A lot of everybody was going crazy all over the media and social media about the fact that Prince Harry has decided to propose publicly, obviously propose
she's
publicly,
be the buffest royal, though.
To Meghan Markle, who is obviously Rachel Zane in Suits, a lot of people tend to not recognize. And it was so funny on LBC, everybody was like, "Oh, she's a lesser known actress. No one knows who she is," kind of thing.
In the UK, Suits isn't big over there,
but like over here,
Suits
but
is
a lot, but a lot, but a lot of people know she. Like nah, when people say Meghan Markle, I was like, "Oh, Meghan." It was really weird. But what do you think about all of that? Like, everyone was talking about, you know, as soon as, you know, Prince Harry was dating her, this whole race thing came into play. But what my issue was on the timeline. A lot of people were like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna have a black queen now." And like, when the black part of her family come to the wedding, da-da-da-da.
Do you know what I find hilarious?
Strange.
Do you know what I find really funny? People are coming to say. When Meghan Markle was like, when people are saying, "Oh, Meghan Markle's going to be the first black royal," people are piping up to say, "Well, she's not black, she's mixed race." When Obama was made president of the United States, no one piped up with that same shit. A few people did, but not a lot. Most people were like, "Oh, my president is black, my first black president." They're not saying the same thing about Meghan Markle. What's the difference?
I guess because Obama... I want to say, Meghan has literally denounced her blackness in my eyes. Like, there's things that she said that have been quite iffy. Like, every time that the subject of her being black comes up, she kind of, to even the interview that she did, mm-hmm. she was very much like, "Yeah, I'm, you know, very proud of where I'm from." And she never said, "Yeah, I'm a black woman."
Well, because she doesn't identify as black. She
identifies
as mixed race.
But I think Obama identifies as black.
So you think that's the difference?
I do. I really do. And also, it's not...
That's not the difference, right? Because Obama is still mixed race. Even if he says he's black, he's mixed race. Meghan Markle is mixed race.
I don't know. And also, in terms of phenotypically, she looks...
racially ambiguous.
Whereas Obama looks black.
So now it comes down to phenotypes.
I'm just giving you the little points that I see that will kind of refute what you're saying.
I guess
have a dialogue with what you're saying.
I guess it's something weird because a lot of people are very much like, "Oh,
and those kids are black."
See, yeah, from what they see,
their mother like that.
Oh yeah, and Barack Obama was with a black woman.
Hella black woman. She's not even
so that makes him more black than Meghan Markle.
I don't know.
I don't know what you would you say that family is a black family?
Who?
The Obamas.
Are they a black family?
Yes. Would you say they're a black family? Looking at the kids and the wife, or would you call them a mixed family? Because Malia and Saita to me,
they're like black girls.
Yeah, but let's be realistic. They like, are a mixed family.
Yeah. Yes,
do you know what I mean?
They are a mixed family.
They obviously their kids are more.
Then we can start going down and being like, you know, we're all mixed families, like through history.
No,
it really does. It really does. If
you guys are really
bearing at the, I'm not reaching the bones of your argument now. Like
what argument? I'm just saying why are people making a distinction between the two people? I'm not arguing anything.
Do you know what I found interesting though? Is because like it could be down to when it becomes like when we start talking about mixed parentage or whatever. A lot of people tend to think, you know, if it's a mixed girl and the mum is black, or it's a mixed girl and the mum is white, or whatever, the other race, it's a they tend to treat them differently.
Which is silly.
So when it comes to Barack Obama, his dad was black and his mum was white, whereas Meghan Markle's mum is black, or is she mixed?
Her mum is mixed, actually.
In some way, right?
Yeah. I think her mother's mixed.
But her mum's even mixed.
Her mum's even mixed, but they call her African American. They don't call her...
Because black. In over there, like over there, race is like
exactly.
You have a little bit. That's what you're black.
It's like it's so weird how what they take into exactly. consideration when it comes
that,
to
that. That southern one drop rule. Like as soon as you're one bit of black,
yeah, you're black.
And it's nasty. It's a terrible thought because it's almost like
well,
you know,
precisely
you're being tainted,
right. So why are people coming to do Meghan Markle is mixed? Because if the one drop rule applies.
Because she said that's how she identified.
Yeah, but mixed. That doesn't mixed. What you're saying is not making sense.
What she said.
Yeah, but regardless of what she says, if the one drop rule applies, then people should still say that she's black, but they're not doing that. They're saying she's mixed. Whereas with Obama,
Americans are saying she's black. I think I've seen a lot of British people saying, no, she's mixed.
But they weren't saying that about Obama. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm. Interesting.
So, do you know what I
mean? Guess, but, you know, it's so weird.
Either way, I think acceptable. That's the...
A lot has changed in 10 years, then. That's really weird. You know what I mean? Because when Obama first came out, nobody was thinking that. They were just thinking there's this black man as president. Whereas 10 years later...
No, absolutely not. The people have been... This has been a topic of discussion for longer than 10 years.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, like, obviously he's... From him coming to being president, and then obviously within the 10 years, a lot has kind of, like, influenced culture and identity up until this point. So, you know, for her actually sitting there and saying that she identifies as this, that, and the other, whereas Barack Obama's not necessarily said that. Has he sat down and said that he identifies as mixed?
No, I don't recall.
Has he said that?
I don't know.
Refuted basically people saying that he's black.
No.
News anchors.
I'm pretty sure Obama's probably said he's mixed.
I think he has. He's acknowledged his.
Dual heritage. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Anyway, I don't know. I mean, just let people identify how they want. But it bugs me a little bit when there's this difference when two people are the same, like how we see them. Why do we see one person as this?
Yeah.
And
personally, I feel like it is very much a phenotypic thing in terms of how does this person look. Do you know what I mean? If somebody was to tell me Obama was full black, I'll be like, I see that.
It's strange though.
Whereas Meghan looks like a mixed babe. Do you know what I mean? Well, like, there is no way for me to not see that.
Yeah, but so does Halle Berry. But when people
say
people say Halle Berry is the first black woman to win the Best Actress Oscar, nobody says anything. No one says no, she's mixed.
She's mixed.
No one says that. People are still like,
I know that speech.
The first black woman.
I know that speech so
well. Exactly. Wow. But no one's saying anything. That's what I'm saying.
And
what
even look at like Tracy Ellis Ross, right? Her father is a white man.
She's mixed, isn't she?
She's mixed, but she full out like. She sees herself as a black woman in my eyes.
But look at Halle Berry's phenotype. It's the same as Meghan Markle. She's got white features. European features. Exactly.
Mm.
But she's still considered a black woman.
I wonder if her mum was black or not. And people may say that doesn't make a difference. But I do.
Either
think
way,
it
there's gonna be a dreadlocked woman that's walking into that.
Into the wedding.
Into the wedding.
So I mean, so what? Anyway, let's get back to the books.
No, I'm going through the tete-a-tete. Cool. I mean, Jeffrey Brack is publishing his book with Dialogue Books. It's called Blacklisted, and it was on the bookseller.
Did he write?
Hold Tight.
Yes, the grind book.
Yeah. Black masculinity and millennials and grime. So yeah, that's another book point to go through. And then the third point is Jay-Z finally confesses to cheating on Beyonce in one of those big
men are trash
in his big New York Times article, which we'll probably speak about a bit later on with regards to the topic we're going to be talking about. But everybody was going for his neck, saying, da 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 da, oh, you know, you're still trash.
Did he actually say, I haven't listened to it? Did he actually say, yeah, cheated?
I read it. He basically
says, you know, infidelity.
He talks about infidelity, talks about, you know, going to therapy and him and Beyonce using their music as therapy and then working through it together and various different things, you know, because they were going to make a joint album.
Can you imagine? Nah, Beyonce needs to come for his neck, you know.
No, they were going to do a joint album. And I think,
say,
obviously,
I'm sorry.
But you saw Lemonade, right? And obviously, and like, what was it, Sandcastles? Where she's talking about
Three Inch Hills, because I'm not about the forgiveness stuff. So I'm like, all right, Beyonce, that's it. This is where I go off.
You know what? Because I think, what was it, Sandcastles was very much about the whole forgiveness stage. And I feel like that's kind of, but they were doing it together. And then obviously, he said that, her music had come further. So they said, all right, she's gonna release her album the year before he does his. Just be interesting if he wins the Grammy.
I liked 444 though. People saying that they don't like it. I quite liked it.
I liked it.
But I still replay it, and that's when I know I like it.
I liked it, but we'll just be interesting to see. So that's a tete-a-tete. Derek, what are your gems? What is your gem?
My gems.
What is your gem this week? It's Derek's Gems. The session's called Derek's Gems. You know, Derek's Gem, plural, singular. Not sure. Anyway,
my gem today is a children's book. It's called I Want My Hat Back. And it's a picture book. But it's a really, really good picture book. Rachel's looking at me like, what the fuck? But trust me, if you get it, you read it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's really, really good. The illustrations are really good as well. And I don't know what it is. I was talking to this guy once at a Bayman Publishing event. I say this guy, sorry, I've forgotten his name. Mm-hmm. And he said he works in, obviously, children's books. And and I said to him, what is it about I Want My Hat Back that's just so amazing? And he was just like, he was like, it's the simplicity of it. And it's very, I don't know. Anyway, he was basically like, the simplicity of the book and the fact that it's just fun.
Mm-hmm. Who wrote it? Do you remember who wrote it?
I cannot remember his name, no. I can't remember the name of the illustrator either.
We'll put it in the show description.
Yeah, we will, but it's just great. Amazing, amazing book.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to become like a classic, like The Hungry Caterpillar or Not Now, Bernard.
Not Now, Bernard.
Yeah.
Not Now, Bernard. Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, what's that's the other one with the bear?
The bear?
Yes, there was another one.
Where the Wild Things Are.
No, the
picture book.
Yeah, it's a picture book.
Mm. Of a bear?
I can't remember.
Yes.
I can't remember.
Oh, man. Okay, it doesn't matter. I'll find it.
But yeah, Not Now, Bernard. Wow. What other classics?
So much.
Children's picture books.
Classics. I mean, this is like a black classic book. Have you read So Much?
No.
Like, and it's like, goes back, is it JJ? And he gets passed around his family. And it's like, oh, your auntie loves you so much.
We're going on a bear hunt.
Oh. We're going on a bear hunt.
Yeah, by Michael. What is it? Michael Rosen? I don't know. But it's We're Going on a Bear Hunt. Oh, fucking love that.
Yeah, I remember reading them in like.
And something, The Patchwork Elephant, that was the first book I ever read in English. I was stuck on it.
And what about that? The Multicolored Fish or something that everybody loves?
Yes.
I've never read that. I remember someone tweeting, oh, this book taught me about racism or something like that and diversity.
It's true. Oh, Elmer the Patchwork Elephant.
Elmer.
Was literally the first book I read in English.
That became a TV show, didn't it? Cartoon.
Yeah, it was the first book I read in English. Mm-hmm. I was stuck. Miss Hildreth made me read that. I remember her name.
Miss Hildreth. It reminds me of that woman from The Worst Witch.
She was absolutely an incredible woman. She's the one that taught me English. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted, because you know, each book, shut up, every week you move on to a new book, right? And then you get like a tick or whatever in your book sort of journal. And I was stuck on that book for a whole month because obviously I didn't know any English. And she would refuse to let me to move on until I knew it. And she'd sit me down and, she was an incredible one. Thank you so much, Miss Hildreth, for teaching me how to talk.
What about Megan Mogg?
Megan
Mogg.
Oh my God. These are
the witch and her cat.
Oh,
and her scrawny little cat.
Yeah. Mm. What's that one with there's this very naughty boy?
Not Now, Bernard.
Not Now, Bernard.
There's loads of naughty boys.
Kipper. Is it Kipper?
Kipper. Biff and Chip.
Biff and Chip. I don't know. God. Where do I remember Kipper from?
Kipper's the dog.
That's it.
Because Kipper the Big Red Dog. That came out a bit later.
Wait, was that a book?
Yeah.
It was a TV show as well.
Oh, because I actually remember. I know that.
You're thinking Kipper of Spot the Dog.
Spot the dog.
Flipping hell.
I remember the song for Big. What is it called?
I don't know.
Okay, Clifford needed Amelie's.
Oh my God. And he was a huge dog. Like.
He was a huge dog.
I remember somebody sent that book to my house because it's my dad's name.
Oh, Clifford.
Yeah,
oh,
and they sent
Clifford
the book. And we're just like, hold on.
I used to bloody love that show.
It's hilarious.
Do you guys remember Mona the Vampire?
As a book.
Mona the Vampire.
As a book. I thought it was a TV show.
Yeah, I remember it as a TV show. You should come back home at 4:30. It used to come on all the time. After school, I used to be there. Oh, childhood, man.
That's a throwback.
A real throwback.
Yeah, so you now, said it's bad. Called I Want My Hat Back.
Yes, I Want My Hat Back.
We'll figure out who wrote it, but and we'll put it in the show notes.
Cool.
In the show notes.
I Want My Hat Back was written by John Klassen.
That's it, John Klassen.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Alrighty.
Main topic?
Are we ready? Are we ready to move on to the main topic? All right. So this week, the guys and I we read the hijabi and I.
The Muslimic.
Okay. We read Drown. We went to one of Juno Diaz's short story collections, his first short story collection, called Drown. And in that, we picked two stories, Drown and How to Date a Brown Skin, Light Skin.
Maybe just even just look at the damn thing. Why are you just trying to, you know, that was my favorite one.
How to Date a Brown Girl, Black Girl, White Girl, or Halfie. Now, what did you guys think?
Shit. That story, How to Date a Brown Girl, I hated it. I just thought it was
you just
rubbish.
Read it right now.
He's read it.
And I read it. I just think I didn't like it at all.
Why?
Because I just thought, what is this? I just didn't get it.
What didn't you get? What didn't you get about it?
Like, I just feel like what he's writing about isn't. It's like, okay, yes, I get it. I feel like another writer could have handled that a lot better.
Why?
Because it just seemed muddled to me. Like, I get what he was trying to do. I just don't feel like he pulled it off very well.
Okay, so, all right, explain the story then. What was he trying to do?
I mean, he's just trying to convey the different ways you prepare and different ways you handle dating the different types of girls,
mm-hmm.
but all in one story as if he's dating them. If it's this, if it's that, oh, this is what you do. I'll hide the government cheese here. Like, come on, we've all been there. The mandem's been there. You got a thing coming around to the yard. You have to go fix up this, fix up that, hide this, hide that. Like when I was younger, that's what I used to do. I used to hide my mum's clothes. Cause obviously, when you grow up in the fucking hood, you got you've got a lot of things in your house that probably shouldn't be there. You've got like big suitcases,
big shopping bags and
suit trunks in your house full of kente cloth that your mum's gonna send back to Ghana, but it never actually goes there.
It's just
so you've got to hide all of these things when someone's coming around
I'm
to the house.
So much because I never went to anyone's house.
But this is what you got to do. So I understand what he's saying, and if she's from out of ends, then you could take her to somewhere in the ends. But if you're dating someone in ends, you have to take them out ends because they're not going to be impressed with blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I get it. I just feel like somebody could have handled that story a lot better. The way he handled it was like, there was no excitement. I was not like, oh shit, yeah, I remember
this. I was excited.
And, oh shit, I was just like, okay, bro, like, what?
Right?
I really liked it. I liked the way he wrote. It was very simple. It wasn't like overly flavorsome and flamboyant. Which is what I liked, and he had a way of incorporating a child voice that really wants to grow up,
mm-hmm.
With that particular short story. In terms of Drown, it took me a while to get into Drown because I was a bit lost. He doesn't really set the scene. He doesn't really set the scene in the beginning. He just really pulls you straight into the character. So I was like, okay, I think maybe that's just the structure of maybe short stories. He's trying to compact something in it. But it felt in the beginning like I was just like rushed into a narrative that I didn't even know how I got there.
He's spoken a lot about short stories and about how he writes them. And it's like, you're just basically, you're honing in on a person's life at this very particular point. So basically you're thrown in to their character.
Yeah.
And you've kind of got to adapt quickly to what's going on in their life at that time.
I think I found
really interesting.
I think with Drown, the stories in Drown, I think he was...
It's his first one.
That's what I was going to say. I think he was perfecting a style that he perfected in This Is How You Lose Her.
Right, okay.
Because there's a story in... There's a couple stories in This Is How You Lose Her written in the same kind of way that are much better.
Yeah, it's a...
Yeah, you can tell that he's... Okay, he's perfected the craft now.
I preferred this to... The few stories that I read in
but that's just because you're reading about men being trash. Of course it's not going to tickle your fancy.
But I preferred I preferred this one, and I preferred the writing in this one as well.
Really?
I did. This is how you lose her. It's just so like
it's
so dead, like in my eyes anyway.
Because the thing is, with How to Date a Black Girl, Brown Girl, White Girl, Lighty, Halfy, this is the way that he kind of writes, the way I looked at it, as if you were in a conversation. Do you see what I mean? Like someone's sitting there and they're like, okay, so you do this, obviously you hide the government cheese, you put your frame down with an afro if it's a particular girl. You know what I mean? Like you're sitting there, like he's talking to his brother or he's like, this is what you do, or this is the kind of thing that happens.
It just didn't come across like that to
it just,
me.
Yeah, I don't know. The way it was speaking, the way it was like I was absorbing it was just like that. So I don't know. I just found it. I think it was a
little moment where he would say something like, you would say that you liked her, like her skin or her eyes, which you do because they're not yours or something. Those kind of things. We're like, oh, maybe touching on something much more deeper there. Are you going to say anything more about that? And he wouldn't.
Yeah.
I think I would have preferred that, but I guess obviously because it's a short story, not maybe enough characters or whatever to delve into all of that.
Mm.
But I thought it was fine. I think Drown was better in terms of depth, especially of character.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit like, it was quite hilarious actually, because I was then thinking about sexuality and queerness, and it reminded me of Derek calling me queer, because I said, yeah, of course I'll do Gal Gadot, you know?
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, oh, you know, how do you view how do you sexuality navigate that space? And how do you navigate and how that confusion, because in Drown, when I forgot his name, did he have a name?
Union.
Yeah.
Junior?
Yeah, no, not in Drown.
It's probably, but yeah, but I just probably, say, yeah. I just say all of them are Union.
Yeah, yeah.
when his friend obviously like started feeling him up, and he got really confused, but then he didn't say anything because, you know, he was.
You mean when his friend sexually abused him? Let's call it what it is. Yeah. That's what happened. His friend abused him because when he was like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah,
his friend didn't stop. Like, he abused him, mate. A man putting his hands down your trousers without your permission is sexual abuse.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the first time, right?
Yeah.
And then the second time.
Yeah.
He accepted it.
Yeah. I'm like, I didn't. There was no verbal. This is weird. So I don't know whether there was resistance or when I was reading it. I don't know. I felt like the second one was.
It was consensual.
Yeah, the second time it was kind of like, yeah, I know what's up.
Mm. Yeah.
The first time it was like, what are you doing? And then he continued, and he just,
yeah.
I think he did come. So when he did it, he did, and then he left.
Yeah.
And then the second time it was like, yeah. Okay. So I was a bit confused.
He explores intimacy in a very weird way.
Yeah.
In that story,
I didn't see that intimacy at all. I just thought
because they were friends.
I know, but I thought
they were doing that.
And he was like, "Oh, I don't know what is happening, but I feel like losing the friendship is going to be even worse."
Exactly. So
whatever it is
for me, that wasn't intimacy. That was just him basically putting his prejudices behind him and then still trying to pursue a friendship with this person. Because obviously, we see that he's. I don't know. He has this weird thing with. There's some words in Drown that I'm sure are homophobic slurs. I don't know what they are translated.
In Spanish.
Yeah. I just feel like they
are.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Living in Spain, that's what the Spanish would say.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They would say that to people, and it's just like.
Yeah, but see, those words, I couldn't. But I just knew they were homophobic slurs. But for me, like, although there's obviously the homosexual themes. Me, I think what really touched me about the story was just his relationship with his mum. That was it. I loved his mum. Like that, the thing with the masturbation seemed like an aside.
Yeah, it's like it wasn't the main story.
Exactly. It felt like the main story was his relationship with his mother.
That's why when you said that, when you read the book, he's like, "Is this what's going to happen in it?" I was thinking. That's why I said, "Oh yeah, shit, that actually does happen."
Mm.
But there's various different things. Like I was looking at it from the friendship's perspective, like you know how they would go to the mall and do various things, and you know, going to the swimming pool, and getting shouted at by these old Spanish women. Do you know what I mean?
I think he explored a sort of loneliness really well in Drown. Like there was a part when they were at the swimming pool, and he went like a bit further off or whatever, and he Gino Diaz talked about the silent the noise at the, you know, when he rose up and the silence underneath the water. And it was so weird because when I had my freak drowning incident, it was literally that.
Yeah.
It was, you know, that difference between when you're above board and you hear so much noise coming from like the shore or whatever, and you're underneath and it's complete silence.
Mm.
And I feel like that underneath, that drowning is his whole life. It's the way that it's written, he's just like, you know, selling things, like selling drugs to these kids, and he's just taking his mother shopping, and she's getting all like done up for the shopping trip. His father's away with another woman, and he's...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Very much in charge, taking care of his mother, and then he has this relationship with this friendship man that is kind of weird, and it does feel like there's so much happening to him that there is this hollow silence, this drowning effect, which I thought he portrayed really, really well.
Yeah.
So I think I like that.
Do you like?
I don't know. Now I'm like, oh shit, that.
When you're thinking about it, it's a bit like, you can feel the like suffocation in a really weird way.
No, what you like, Ray, is your own interpretation of it, and you're now kind of like, oh yeah, I'm very clever. I've really broke that down well, didn't I?
Oh,
I like this story.
It's more so just like, oh shit, there was more, so much more in that I didn't really think of when I was.
I do think he's a clever writer.
He's very clever.
But although this does feel really premature, because obviously it's his first one. Because I remember reading it. This is the last short story collection I read. Well, he's only got three, but this is the last short story collection I read of his. And I was thinking, compared to the novel and to This Is How You Lose Her, that this...
Can you give me your Oscar Wilde book?
You can see how he's matured with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But then also, even in like How to Date, he's got several quips in there, like that he kind of like takes the piss out of with regards to like Latino men and stuff.
Mm.
Like things like, tell her that you love her hair, that you love her skin, her lips, because in truth you love them more than you love your own.
Mm.
Or like running your hand through your hair, like one of those white boys, but you know the only thing that runs through your hair is Africa.
I hated that line.
But it's
like,
so explicit in a really implicit way.
I was like, what are you trying to say?
It's like, bruv, like. I personally think he should have said something.
That means you'd hate the first two pages of Oscar Wilde, then.
Probably. The only thing running through my head is Africa. What does that mean?
That can run through your head that easily is Africa.
What does that mean?
That your hair is African.
And what does that mean?
That, like his hair is thicker than the girl that he's trying to press.
Then he could have said that in a much better way.
But the thing is, but obviously, when you look at the Latino community and stuff, and they try to deny their blackness so much in certain communities, it's, you know, because they say Latino, and then you've got Afro-Latinos who aren't really classed as
African. I completely get that.
So I think he's critiquing that.
I'm just saying he could have said it a better way.
You think so?
I thought I was a really.
How would you say it?
I think it was very.
Cool. I don't know. I'm not Juno Diaz.
Yeah, but how would you say it?
I don't write short stories, so don't ask me that question.
It's just a line. How would you have said that line?
Mate, I have to sit down for 10 minutes to rewrite one word, so I can't rewrite a line.
Especially I don't know. I liked it because it was clear. It was just clear what
she was
saying.
She'll say something in Spanish or whatever.
Yeah, man.
But you've never been to Spain or something. That was
When he said, they will call you Spanish.
I think so.
And he's like, that's really weird because you've never been to Spain.
Yeah.
He's critiquing like society though, because that's what they call them up there. So they call them Spanish.
Mm.
I wanted to know what you guys thought. So this is Adolescence, right? kind of wanted to kind of talk about that. Like, what does it, did it make you think about
growing up and being
adolescents and like various different things of your friendships and like relationships and various things? How did that make you?
How were you like as an adolescent, Derek?
I didn't really have an adolescence.
Oh, God, here we go.
Well, I didn't, so.
How? Everyone has an adolescence.
Not really.
But then you have to explain what an adolescent period is.
Okay, all right. Do you know what I mean? Let's do that then. What does adolescence mean to you?
It's just a period of getting to know yourself and becoming. It's that stage of going through puberty and understanding yourself, understanding your relation to the world,
mm-hmm.
understanding where you fit in,
yeah.
who you are on a very basic level. I feel like my adolescence happened from the age of 18 onwards.
What were you doing before?
I was just scattered from. I was just all over the place. I was, do you know what I mean? I feel like...
I understand that.
From the age of 0 to 18, that period, I just feel like it was an absolute mess, mate. Do you know what I mean? Don't know what was going on. Like I said before, I was in foster care. My foster mum was white. Came to London. My mum's suddenly black.
Yeah.
And black, West African, Ghanaian. Everything's changed. Like, and then school was just weird as well. Everything was just strange, like, do you know what I mean? So it's only when I became 18 that I was kind of like, oh, I'm Derek, and I actually have to try create an identity for myself.
Yeah.
Before that, I didn't really think that I needed it to identify as anything.
Yeah, that's similar, actually, because even when I think back to between the ages of 13 and 18, I don't really remember anything. And, like, because I didn't have that reckless teenage phase. I didn't have it, like, just because I was the oldest, there were certain things I had to do, like, and have that certain responsibility put on me.
Reckless teenage phase?
You know that some people, I think, Claire Foy mentioned this the other day, but she was basically saying, having a reckless phase, this is like, you know, arguing, like even arguing back with parents, or even like being troublesome between that period, or sneaking out, or doing things.
Is that common though?
No, like,
is that common?
I don't know.
Or is that just a cliche now?
I think it is quite common. I think you just weren't rebellious, you know what I mean, at that point.
Or you were just so free that you didn't need to be.
Yeah, or repressed enough that you just didn't feel like you could do anything.
Okay. Well, I was rebellious. I was a little shit.
Yeah, but I couldn't be. If that makes any sense. Because I was the oldest of, like, I was the oldest of four. And, you know, certain responsibility was put on me from, like, the age of 10. So, from the age of 10, okay, we could say 10 to 18 then.
And that's a lot
to have. If it was, like, you know, not picking up your siblings or being home for a certain time when all your friends are, like, after school at chicken shops and doing whatever, like hanging out, and you're just like, I've got to go home before, especially when the clocks go forward or back, or when it goes dark, got to be home before it gets dark. You know what I mean? Like, it's just various things that you just don't have that. I didn't have that as an adolescent, so I didn't know what that was. What's adolescence to you?
Sitting in the cupboard, reading Omar Tyree by torchlight.
Go on. Speak for me. Yeah, go on.
Let the subaltern speak, please. Go on. Go on.
Such an arsehole. I agree with Derek in terms of what adolescence is, and that communication and understanding of who you are.
Definitely,
And, you know, your existence in the world and other people. I think I had a childhood, which is good. I was allowed to be innocent for a very, very long time. I had a childhood, I think. As an adolescent, because I think I was very like protected, I didn't really get to have. I'd like to say I was rebellious, but I wasn't really. I was rebellious when I started university, and as I got much older, because there was all of a sudden this freedom. But I remember being an adolescent, and I think I just remember puberty really well, because I think I had really bad puberty. Like hormones absolutely raging. I remember specifically arguing with my aunt and, you know, with everyone around me, because I was so angry all the time. I literally would wake up angry every day for no reason and cry, because I'm like, why am I so angry? Literally, like, puberty just hit me hard.
It affects everybody differently.
Yeah. And I was just angry every day. I just feel like my adolescent period, I was just pissed off and angry at everyone, and I wouldn't talk to people for days in my house.
I was just angry. I think I was very solemn. I was very introverted. It was really dark. It was really, when I first think about it, it was really dark between as I say, 13 and 18. It was really just really quiet, really dark. Like, I was confined to my room a lot. It wasn't really. It was so mad because even when you said about childhood, like, I looked back, I found loads of pictures when I was clearing out my room of like me even, I was like between five and 10. And I was like happy. And I was like to my parents, like, what was I like as a child? And they're like, oh, you were really like carefree. You were really like, you know, a child. You were like, you were really bright and all this stuff. And then they literally don't know what happened. Like, you got to like 12 and then you just became this. Dark,
you just switch, right? And I see that with like the people, the twins in my house, like the boys, when they were young, they were very like boisterous and stuff. And when they got to that adolescent period, they started personality. So one of them thinks he's really cool and like, I think he's gonna be a real like a ladies' man. Like, he's always
Yalis.
Literally, like he's doing waves in his hair now, so he's always wearing
The do-rag face.
Do-rags like all the time. And the wave cream. And the mirror and my God. Be, like, with his little aftershave. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you're 13. Like, come on.
That's let the young man.
But he's proper thing is, I get along with him more than the other one. The other one's fucking crazy. Like, he's so like crazy.
He's just all
over the place. And I'm like, can you calm down? He's the one that I'm always like arguing with. Yeah. You know, but yeah, I think at that point it's a very precarious time to be in. I literally just, it really scares me to raise. That's I don't care about childhood and stuff, raising a child, but that is the stage where things form, ideas begin to form, and that your view on the world. And I think as a parent, it must be so crazy. Raising a child in that, and that's why I think I was very sheltered, and I felt like the, you know, everyone around me is trying to constrict me, because they were, I can imagine now, they were really, really scared.
Yeah.
Do you know, a book perfectly captures adolescence, I think, Franny and Zuri.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, like, because I think, I believe it's Franny has like this existential crisis, and then she's just,
I think I had many of those.
Yeah, she's just laying on the couch like. It's because, one, they're very, very clever. They're part of the Glass family, and they're like child prodigies and stuff. So they're really, really clever. They read a lot of stuff. And she has a moment where she's just kind of like, the world cares more about, I guess, knowledge than wisdom. And she starts thinking about Jesus. I mean, her brother starts talking to her about Jesus and all this stuff. But she has an existential crisis, basically.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is a part of growing up.
Yeah.
Having those moments where you're just like, where do I stand? Where do I fit in? What is, like, I have many moments where I'm just like, what is this? Like, what is this? What is this world? What do you know what I mean? What am I doing here? Sort of thing. And you just, it's, I think when you have those at 15 as well.
Mad.
At really young. Yeah, exactly. It really makes you, it really knocks you off your feet.
Yeah.
So yeah, Franny and Zoe is a really good book that captures, that I guess.
That. And it's all about the road that you take, right? In terms of at that stage. So when I was at that when I was 15, actually, I remember having those crises literally every day. And that's at that age, that's when I started doubting my faith and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was literally like, what religion am I? What do I believe in? What am I being taught? Questioning absolutely everything. Yeah. When I question adults, they'd just be like, why are you questioning?
This is just, it just
like,
is.
What's, where's your iman? Like, where's your faith? And I got really angry because I'm like, why are my questions not being answered? And I think... So I'm going to take it back to Fly Girl. Because it literally was my coming of age book. Yeah. And I felt like I read it at a perfect time. I read it when I was like 13, 14. And in it, I saw two girls, right? Tracy and Rahima. And Tracy was like the protagonist. And she was the one that was, you know, not hoeing, but she was, you know, she was experimenting and she was out here and falling in love with like, what's his name? Victor Hinson, who still remains the love of my life today, who turns into a Muslim next book, which I was like, wow. So there was Tracy, who was like out here and she was popular and stuff, and there was Rahima, who was like the girl with the A stars, and she'd cry if you'd get the B, literally. And it was a matter of seeing these two paths. And when I read that book, I literally said to myself, okay, well, I, as much as I love Tracy and I love that she can explore and whatever, the sensible thing for me is to go down Rahima's route and be that academic and focus on my grades and stuff. So literally that book was the parent that I needed, because if anybody else, any adult tried to tell me this stuff, I wouldn't have listened.
No,
but reading that book, I think that is the role that I took.
Yeah.
And that is the path that I took But then again, yeah. I'm like, was it the
interesting.
Right one?
I remember sitting
I'm
down.
Just lacking in everything else.
I remember sitting down at 14, 15 and trying to decide what my faith, what my spiritual compass was. What my faith was. Because I remember even sitting down with my uncle and being like, I don't know about this Christianity thing, you know. And he's like, all right, talk to me. And I was like, so there's many faiths out there. We were talking about Islam, we were talking about atheism, we were talking about all of it. I know it would probably kill my nan if I converted to Islam. But it'd probably, you know, but so it was one of them.
Marry you straight, you're going bachelor, you know.
Geez, that's so strange though.
But you go through those stages, isn't it?
Mm. With me, it was like, with Christianity, of course, I was brought up like to be a Christian and whatnot. I never really started doubting my faith until one time I did something. I put my middle finger up at my auntie through the window.
See you.
And did then she see that?
She saw it and then she told my dad.
I would have died.
And then my dad was like standing in front of me. He stood me in front of him. And then he slapped me into an existential crisis.
So how does that happen? You are so dramatic.
I'm telling you. Because
he smacked you and then all of a sudden your head was in dust.
Yes, because after that, I remember like, it's we're laughing in it, but it's really fucked up. No, I've written about it. And I went outside and I sat on the back stoop, and that was the first time I ever thought about dying and death and just being alive. It's the first time I realized that I was actually alive and that I could actually die.
Mm.
And then that's when I started thinking about religion. And then I started thinking about, I used to also ask my mom after that, okay, so God's there, but who created God? You know those questions that kids ask? Yeah. Who created God then? Or will, because one thing that terrifies me is the fact that people say, oh, when you go to heaven, you're there for eternity. That's terrifying to me. Eternity is terrifying. I don't know how anyone
it's
can be.
It's a good place.
I don't know how anyone can be like, oh, you're going to be happy forever and ever. Yeah.
I love eternity. Like, I love the idea of eternity. Absolutely not.
Nah.
But yeah, though, that's when I really started. It's those kind of questions that put me off Christianity. The fact that I can say, I can ask you who created God and you can just tell me, oh, he just is, like, it's just how it is. Do you know what I mean? It just didn't make sense to me as a child. So I was just kind of like, okay, whatever. This ain't for me then if you can't
ask.
Yeah, I was basically just, And it's those conversations you have. Those conversations you have. But then I remember even sitting down, and I was just sitting down thinking, actively doing that. And then my parents, older relatives would be like, why do you look like you've got the world in your hands? Why do you look like you've got everything resting on your shoulders? And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, I'm having an internal crisis right now. Do you know what I mean? And before you actually sit down and have a conversation to be like, what's going on? Like, you know, share the thoughts. They don't, you know, you muddle through the adolescence and thinking, trying to figure out yourself by yourself. And it's like, then they're confused when you get to a certain conclusion when you're an adult.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? It's like, how did you become like this? How did you get these ideas? And it's like, well, when I was thinking between the ages of 15 and whatever age, you know?
I think it's a very mad time. Like, I was hella suicidal when I was an adolescent. Like, every time I'd literally be like, I hate this shit. I can't do it.
Yeah.
It was horrible, horrible. And I don't even know when I stepped out of it, but I just remember being a whole depressed for like, from 14 to like 17. Like, yeah. I don't remember. It's just like a depressed mess.
Mm. All right, guys. Okay. Ugh. So, positives of being of your adolescence. Anything that you can kind of remember. Any positive times that you can remember? Because it was a really dark spiral we just went down.
I know.
I'm like, how did
we get there?
Any positive times? Like, you know, school days or, you know, various things. Swimming in the pool with your friend. Like in drown.
I mean, I remember positives. Whew, I'm going to have to really think hard.
I know, right?
Wow.
Positives
like
of
Thought
being
Park or Alton Towers or
I never did those because I was jailed
at my house.
I'm sorry.
Not with friends anyway.
Probably just my mum, you know.
Really?
Being able to spend time with my mum when things were good. Things were
true,
cool.
Actually.
They were nice. When me and my mum just had each other and my dad was still in America. Those were good times. Those were the best times.
Did you wish about becoming an adult
when I was younger?
Because I had this, that's why I said I didn't live my life as a teenager, because I always wanted to, because I thought I will be free when I'm an adult, when I'm older and I can be more autonomous. So I always wished my life away at that age.
No, I didn't wish to be an adult. I wished to be stronger. I wished I was able to physically take care of myself.
Mm.
So that if anybody tried to beat me, I could really do
that. I wanted money. I literally was like, money is my way to freedom.
Mm.
That's all I wished for.
Really?
I wanted to leave. Escaping was my way to freedom. Do you see what I mean?
Like, so Ray wanted money, Alex wanted freedom, and I wanted muscles.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. Yeah. No, it's true. Like, my whole...
As in,
my whole life has been like, how do I take care of myself? And seeing around me, I said, I need to be financially stable.
Yeah.
And as a kid, when I like wanted something and I couldn't get it, for me, it was like, why don't I have money to buy this? Like, there was a magazine, Young Voices.
I used to love them.
And you know, I wasn't allowed them.
You weren't allowed them? Oh, yeah, you wouldn't.
Of course not. So there would be like posters of Omarion and stuff and all those. And I used to love it. And I used to fold it up and put it in my school bag and like, you know, take it out and look at it and then put it back in. Because I wasn't allowed those things. So buying it, I couldn't be like, hey, can I have this amount of money to go and buy Young Voices? It was like,
I just need money. I'm going to take a picture of all my Young Voices. I'm going to go home and do it.
Oh man, I used to love Young Voices, and I used to love like crazy chick and stuff like that.
So many typos in there, but hey, life in it.
I just needed money. I thought money was the way to just.
So strange that you. This is why this kind of reassures me now that I'm right. I did not have this adolescent stage because I was not thinking about money. Up until 18, I was not thinking about freedom. The only thing that you could say was kind of an adult thing that I was
thinking about. Did you think you were free already?
If you asked me about freedom at age 17, I would not know what you're talking about.
But that's maybe because you already had it. Did you have restrictions that somebody was like, you want to play out, and someone was like, no.
Yes, of course.
Did you have like?
Of course, I had restrictions. My dad was a fucking bully. I couldn't go out after 7 o'clock. I had to be home at a certain time. I had to pick my brother up from school.
Yeah.
You know, my friends would have things and I wouldn't have them. I would want them and I would be told, no, you can't.
So why didn't you want to escape that? Or didn't you?
I didn't know there was such a thing as escape from that.
Mm. Ah, right.
Oh, okay. I saw adults because I was like, if you can boss me about when I get to your age, I'll be able to do that. You know what I mean? That's what I thought in my head. I'm like, you're doing all this to me. But who's doing this to you? No one. I don't see anyone doing this to you. Therefore, I want to be you.
That's my. I feel that's
my whole life was like. I just need to be older. If I
had known that there was such a thing as a way out of that, if I could actually comprehend that at age 17, would have gone to university and left my house.
Yeah,
but I didn't know I could do that. I didn't even know I could go to university.
To be honest, it was actually the going to university was my main objective to get out because I was like.
I didn't even get to leave the city.
But I was like, you know what? Every uni that I was looking at was not in London. And my mom and dad were very big on me leaving the city. So they were like, you know, go. And I was like, rah. I was like, I'm going to go. And even just like the day when they left my hall of residence, it was just like silence for like, it was like a really echoey, weird kind of, oh my God.
Mm.
Oh shit, like I'm actually in my hall, like in my room and thinking I'm here. Yeah, that was necessary, I needed that.
Weird.
Yeah,
okay.
But anyway guys, if you guys have any like stories of adolescence you guys want to share with us, let us know.
How was your adolescence?
How was that? Any books you want to recommend on that, you know, leave us some messages in the SoundCloud comments on our Twitter feed and email us
mostlylit@gmail.com
That's right. Okay, let's move on. So mostly flicks.
Oh, happy day.
What? What's wrong with you?
I just remembered the read sound, like you know when it starts. Let's move on. Yeah. When you said that, I was like, oh, let's move on. I was like, shit, that's another podcast.
Right. No, so we're gonna go into mostly flicks now. And so you know, Ray picked out last week Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. That stars Robert Downey Jr.
with
various people that I didn't know.
Calmar, what's his name?
I don't know what his name is.
What did they call him? Gay Perry.
Gay Perry.
Yeah. Gay Perry.
What did you think of the film? Derek hasn't watched it.
Yeah, obviously, because he's an arsehole.
Yeah, you've somehow.
He's an arsehole. He did not forget, boy. Okay, so I watched it and
Val Kilmer.
I liked it, obviously, because it had Robert. who was being Robert, as he is literally
realized. He's such a good, he's a good actor.
Same. No, I don't know about that. Because I was reading it, and sorry, I was watching it, and then I was like, this is Iron Man. Do you know what I mean? I was like, this is kind of Iron Man.
Actually, yeah.
Watch what?
Watch Chaplin. Then you'll know that Downey Jr. is a good actor.
I mean, he's good, but I feel like it was
when you
very...
when you watched it, he's the same character he was using for Iron Man. Like, that's probably what got him. Probably what got him the job.
Maybe. But yeah, I really liked it. There was quite a few, like, not plot twists, but it was very like investigatory because obviously it was about trying to figure out why everyone's dying. No, who? What is it again? Michelle something. She's a very beautiful woman. She's also in
her name's Michelle Monaghan.
Yes, her, who was Harry Langston, who's obviously Robert Downey Jr. Childhood sweetheart and stuff. And you know, he's like he's basically a little petty thief and found himself auditioning for a movie role, and all of a sudden now he's like trying to figure out who killed who with Gay Perry, who is an investigator. it's a real mess.
It's funny though.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It wasn't like amazing.
No.
It wasn't amazing, but it was decent.
There were some really interesting parts in it though, especially with like the whole sexual assault situation that's happened. Well, things that are like coming out in across certain industries, and you know, like there was a scene where he saw a spider crawling across her breast. And he tried to like blow it and hit it out when she was asleep. And then she woke up and she's like, oh my gosh, you're grabbing my tit. And he's like, yeah, there's a spider. I'm trying to find the spider. And then she was like, oh, so something happened. And then she was like, oh,
it's okay.
Don't worry about it, it happens.
Like, and then she was like, what the fuck would you mean it happens?
It doesn't happen.
When someone like touches you like that, it's not normal.
Like it doesn't happen.
She was like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I believe you. And he got really pissed off. Yeah. Which I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, well, there were certain monologues. I think it was really good script writing because a lot of the monologues were really addressing like sexual assault in Hollywood. Pardon?
I liked his narration.
Yeah. They were really addressing those kind of things. It's really good.
You should watch it, Derek.
Sexual assault in Hollywood.
No. It was really
white joke.
Yeah,
it was really. I was like, why are you?
That's essentially what the theme was like. But it was really good. I think it was. As I said, good script writing, good direction. And it was really quirky. Like some things that you thought weren't going to happen because these are the typical formulas in a film, just did.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like there were very sharp moments that you just didn't expect to happen.
I like the last scene where he basically kills everyone. The way he does it is like, you're not this slick, but it happens really good. Like just, I quite enjoyed that part. Yeah. He was being very badass.
Yeah. It's really rough. It's a really rough one.
Yeah.
1 second.
Did he really just say 1 second? Anyways, that was mostly flicks. Derek, please go and watch it.
I might watch it. I mean, is there really any point in me watching it now that you guys have just?
I mean, watch told it for exactly your own like happened. Viewing pleasure, I suppose. I think you should. It's your turn to choose, right?
Yes, it is my turn to choose. But I don't really trust the bag that Alex made. What do you mean, why? Because Alex wrote all the names in there.
Yeah, well, you didn't come up with the suggestions.
Fair enough. Okay, fine. I'll watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. It is one of those movies that everybody's supposed to watch because Downey Jr.
I haven't even heard of it.
You never heard of it before that?
No. What? Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Anyways, can we
what are you saying? You don't trust my choices?
No, you have a weird choice.
No, because you gave me choices. I asked you to give me choices. You chose not to give me choices. That's your own personal problem.
Well, no, not really. Because I have to pick out. Just give me the bag.
No, because you're gonna pick. No, pick.
Just give me the
you
bag.
You can't choose.
Can we just watch My Cousin Vinny?
No, man. Just pick the damn thing.
All right. I'm just ruffling through. Look, listen. All right.
Going through so this extra. Bag.
All right.
God, I hope it's a good
so,
one.
The movie we'll watch. I'm not watching this.
Oh, no. You can't do that. You actually can't do that.
You're such a sports
you,
just
yeah,
read the
you
film.
Actually cannot do that.
Lucky number 11.
Who the hell?
Exactly.
Wait.
Can I get one more choice?
No, you don't. Because then we'll be doing this every week and that's not going to happen.
You got to stay true to the bag.
I'm lying. That's not what it was.
No, you're a liar.
Yes, you are. You're lying.
I'm lying. It's because I wanted to watch that. That's why I said that. Do you even remember writing that down, Alex?
Yes.
Oh, you do. Okay. Okay, so the movie is for colored girls. Way!
Let's see it. Is it for coloured girls?
Is it for coloured girls?
I've seen For Coloured Girls.
Everyone's seen For Coloured Girls. You should watch it again.
No, but we've all seen it.
But it's a great movie.
So we can watch it again to talk about it.
Tyler Perry, baby.
Tyler Perry,
right.
All right, let's move on.
I don't want to watch that scene.
No, you can watch it, man.
What scene? Watch it.
Watch the babies.
Guys.
Okay, fine, man. Chill, relax.
Alice, we're not ruining it for anyone.
Relax your soul, man. We've seen the film.
Anyway, guys.
Sorry, did you guys see that video of how corporate people are?
Oh.
Did you just get the email that I sent you? Did you just?
Dead. That's not even how people laugh at my work.
Who the fuck laughs like that?
No one. Somebody tweeted, "Oh, this is how." Someone said, "Oh, this is how Gabrielle Union acts."
Yeah.
And then she blocked him.
Really?
Did she?
Yeah, Gabrielle Union blocked him.
All right. Oh shit! It's my.
No, it's not.
No, yes, it is. Is it your reads?
Yeah.
Oh God, man. What's your reads?
Very quickly then.
What do you have?
I found this book on my shelf, right? And it's called "The Things You Can See Only When You Slow Down" by Haemin Sunim.
Okay.
I don't know how it got there. Don't know where it came from.
Right.
But I was reading it. So it's a funny, it's a good book. And it's this Zen guy. And what he tends to write, he starts each chapter with a personal essay. And he just kind of reflects on his topic throughout that. And then throughout the chapter, there are various little nuggets that you can take that he wants you to sit down and absorb. So I think the chapter starts with rest. So it kind of gives you like certain meditations on what resting means and
right.
how to take time slowly. Because what he was saying was in the very beginning of the book was that, you know, people are always busy. But it's about how the world affects you, you know what I mean, not how you affect the world, kind of
Aww,
thing.
And
it's really interesting so far. And he's got several chapters on mindfulness, passion, relationships, love, life, the future, spirituality, and then there's an epilogue. But each chapter begins with a personal essay. So that's called "The Things You Can See Only When You Slow Down." And I think it's pretty good so far. Some of the little meditations are like. Some of them are basic, but there are some things that if you sat down and had a think, be pretty good. So his first personal essay is called "Why Am I So Busy?" And then he kind of explores explores what it means to be busy and the like. So that's pretty good. I'd say get that. Try it. Have a read. Let me know what you think. Over 3 million copies sold in various languages.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah.
You weren't reading it?
You know, yeah. The things you go only to see when you slow down. It's pretty good. Ray.
Oh, Ray's yes. Woman. Okay, so I actually just found my... I'm not really going to focus on the woman. I'm going to focus on the book. So a few years ago when I was having my jobless summer, I think this was the year... before I started university, and I bought all of these classics, right, to read because I was obviously starting an English literature degree, and I thought, oh, I need to read up on loads of things. So I bought War and Peace, I bought Ulysses, I bought Madame Bovary, I bought so much stuff, right? And I didn't end up reading any of that crap. And instead, I spent the whole summer reading trash chick lit. But I came across this book in my local library, and it was the first book where I read about a Muslim girl dating and a Muslim girl in the corporate world trying to basically find a husband, or not even just trying, just living and having her family being like, marry this man and stuff like that. And the book is called Saris in the City, written by a woman called Reha Wahid. And basically I'll just read out a little bit. It's the description: love, lingerie, and family loyalties collide in the sexy, sassy tale of chasing success, but at what cost? When ambitious city analyst Yasmin Yusuf's hope for a traditional happy ever after in the romance stakes is shattered, she decides there's only one course of action: get smart, sexy, and successful. And what better way to achieve it than by turning around a failing lingerie company? Swept ahead first into her glamorous new job by suave private banker Zachary Khan, who is literally like the sexiest man alive, after Victor Hinton, of course, in Fly Girl. Yasmin is soon clashing with snobby fashionistas, pedantic accountants, blah 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 blah. So yeah, it's very chick litty. It's very different. I don't think I've read anything as trashy as I have read in that summer. But I really advise, you know, if you want a nice chilled book, you don't want to think too much, you just want a little bit of a fun thing, then do go and read it. And I'd really encourage Muslim women to read it, actually, because it's very rare that Muslim women are portrayed as being, you know, in the corporate world and just trying to find romance as every other Becky is. So please go and read it. It's called Saris and the City by Reha Waheed.
Cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, we're done. Are we done?
Yes, we're done. So
yay! I mean, boo.
Thanks a lot, guys, for tuning in once again. If you want to at us, find us on Twitter at MostlyLit, on Instagram at MostlyLitPod. Mm-hmm. If you want to email us, it's MostlyLit@gmail.com.
Please read, please watch For Coloured Girls with us and be ready to discuss.
Oh, yeah,
it next
why
week.
Not? Yeah, yeah. Watch For Coloured Girls with us. Yeah, decent movie. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you guys are not going to rewatch it. Derek isn't, because he can't even watch a film.
I love Tyler Perry, so yes, I will rewatch it.
Do you?
I love Tyler Perry. I love Madea movies.
You enjoy what's coming up.
Oh, God, I hope. Oh, God.
Anyway.
Okay, thanks, bye, guys. It was
see
great.
You next week.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.